וירא בלק בן את כל אשר עשה ישראל לאמרי. ויגר מואב מפני העם מאוד כי רב הוא, ויחץ מואב מפני בני ישראל. Oh, Balak heard all that had Israel had done to the Le'amari, the Amorites. And Moab was disgusted with Israel. Not only afraid, he was disgusted. Abba, in the name of Yeshua, be with us in these times when there is a lot of disgust for God's people. Abba, give us strength to overcome. Give us strength to persevere. In the name of Yeshua, be with us. Balak, this parsha number 22, 2 through 25, 9, is, I like to call it thing one and thing two. These guys were really messed up and they were really full of themselves. And that's funny, this comes right after that other fella, Korach. They're going to rise up. Going to rise up. Show Moshe a thing or two. This is, this parsha has many, many, many lessons. There's like an infinite, no end to the lessons in this parsha. I felt like putting this together, I was skipping across the top of the water. And the immenseness of what this holds is intense. But we're going to touch on some things today, because one thing that's happening, and I'm hearing it all over, there's quite a few messianic groups that are going south. They're getting into kooky stuff. I'm hearing it more and more. He called me the other day and said, if you'll come to Denver once a month, I can get 200 people to come listen to you right now. I said, I have a kahal here I have to take care and maintain. And I said, somebody needs to rise up in Denver. There is so much goofy stuff and people going south with fuzzy feeling things. Anything but looking at the word, Daber HaElohim, the word of Elohim. He wants us to look at it. And this parsha is about false prophet. Oh, Isaiah 2:3. Pray for the groups.
Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Yaakov. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Yerushalayim.
Today we have the dispersion. We are part of it. Praise Abba. Set Yetzikiel prophesy these days to come. And we are where the prophets, the true prophets of God, wanted to be right now. Yetzikiel 11:14-21.
Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, your brethren, your relatives, your countrymen, and all the house of Israel in its entirety are those about whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get far away from the Lord. This land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore say, Thus says the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, Thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there, and they will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God.
What Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, wants very much is for his people to be together. It's very important for his glory, that his people stay together. And as we read here thousands of years ago, they were together, but there were those who would rise up, and try to split off and peel off and divide and conquer and come against what Elohim set up. And it goes on today. It's going on all over the place. We have to keep our focus on him. This is Balak, the destroyer, who was disgusted and afraid of Israel. We're going to read. Thank you, Paul, for reading all these years. Thank you. Numbers 22:1 through 23:12.
Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw that all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field." And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam the son of Beor at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, "Look, a people has come up from Mitzrayim. See, they cover the face of the earth and are sitting next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" So Balaam said to God, "Balak the son of Zippor, a king of Moab, have sent to me, saying, 'Look, a people has come up out of Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out.'" And God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you." And the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." Then Balak again sent princes more numerous and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak the son of Zippor, 'Please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse this people for me.'" Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of the silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God, to do less or more. Now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight, that I may know what the Lord will say to me." God came to Balaam that night and said to him, "If the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do." So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkeys, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him, and he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on his side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the donkey opened the mouth of the donkey. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me. I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live." And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back." Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now Balak heard that Balaam was coming. He went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the border of the Arnon, at the boundary of the territory. Then Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not earnestly send to you, calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you?" Balaam said to Balak, "Look, I have come to you. Now have I any power to say anything, at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak." So Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kirjath Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and he sent some to Balaam and to the princes who were with him. So it was the next day that Balak took Balaam and brought him to the high places of Baal, that from there he might observe the extent of the people. And Balaam said to Balak, "Build seven altars for me here, and prepare for me seven bulls and seven rams." And Balak did just as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stand by your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me. Whatever he shows me, I will tell you." So he went to a desolate height. And God met Balaam, and he said to him, "I've prepared seven altars, and I've offered on each altar a bull and a ram." Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak." So he returned to him, and there he was, standing by his burnt offering, and he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his oracle and said, "Balak the king of Moab has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come, denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There, a people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number one-fourth of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his." And Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you have blessed them bountifully." So he answered and said, "Must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth?"
This statement, "Must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth," was said six times in this parsha. And I've gone over this for years, this parsha, and I always wonder, why the donkey? You know? And it was revealed to me why. God opened the donkey's mouth and spoke through the donkey to Balaam, to show Balaam that he was going to use him just like the donkey. Because the angel said, in a roundabout way, "The donkey is way more important than you." He said, "Have you not stopped, I would have killed you and saved the donkey." And so Balaam is a puppet here. He's going to be used by God. And he uses him. Six times, Numbers 22:20.
And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do."
Numbers 22:35.
Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak.
Numbers 22:38.
And Balaam said to Balak, "Look, I have come to you. Now, have I any power to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak."
Numbers 23:11-12.
And Balak said to Balaam, What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you have blessed them bountifully. So he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth?
And 24:12-13.
So Balaam said to Balak, did I not also speak to your messengers whom you sent to me, saying, if Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord, to do good or bad of my own will. What the Lord says, that I must speak.
Now Numbers 28:22-28, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. Then the angel of the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. First he opens the mouth of the donkey, then he opens the eyes of Balaam. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now and let her live. Because his way was perverse before Elohim. He knew that Balaam had ulterior motives. Adonai was showing Balaam that he would be used just as the donkey was used to speak. Balaam, according to scripture, Joshua 13:22, was what they called, the translators called, a soothsayer.
The children of Israel also killed with the sword Balaam, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, among those who were killed by them.
Now, soothsayer. Scroll this side. Right here. Hakosem. But double click on it, yeah, see? Divination, diviner. Practice divination. It also, in my other concordance, it says, a false prophet. And this is very important. There are many Balaams out there that operate to deceive and insert confusion in God's people. Jeremiah warns all the kingdoms to submit to Babylon or suffer far worse, and to not listen to false prophets and end time prophecies. He specifically says this. Jeremiah 27:1-11.
In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes, and put them on your neck, and send them to the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Ammonites, the king of Tyre, and the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, the king of Judah. And command them to say to their masters, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arms, and have given to it whom it seemed proper to me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field I have also given to serve him. So all nations shall serve him and his son's son, until the time of his land comes. And then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. And it shall be that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers, who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie to you, and to remove you far from your land. And I will drive you out, and you will perish. But the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it.
He was telling these people, these kingdoms, and amongst these places and all over the lands were hidden pockets of Israelites. He hides them in secure country. Babylon at the time was most powerful. He wanted these people to go there and hang out for a while, meaning until the right time he decides to raise them up. Because he had a purpose for them to go there. He wanted them there, and he said, do not transgress this commandment. Go there and submit to Babylon. At this time, this is what was commanded. He said, do not listen to these prophets. Now, I've had people over the years, different times, come to me and say, well, what do you prophesy about this? What do you prophesy about that? I want to tell everybody right now, prophecy is a very, very dangerous thing. And we're going to show you some scriptures about false prophecy. And I'm going to talk about, there has some that are so proud of themselves, they rise up and say, thus saith the Lord. And they lead people into Goofyville. We're going to leave and all go to Israel, right? On this next blood moon. So all come and go, come. And they make a lot of money off this. And it doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen. We've watched it over and over. Ezekiel 13:9.
My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God.
That's some pretty serious stuff right there. They shall not be written in the assembly of Israel? And they're proud of it. Cha-ching, cha-ching, all the way to the bank. I will not prophesy because I know that I have made mistakes and I don't want to make that one because that's very serious. Ezekiel 22:28.
Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken.
Thus says the Lord God, when the Lord had not spoken. Zechariah 10:2. Serious.
For the idols speak delusion. The diviners envision lies and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore the people wend their way like sheep. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd.
Now, some of these false prophets have gathered up a lot of people over the years at certain times for a great big blood moon event where everybody's going to get raptured to Israel. But it didn't happen. So what were these people's minds when they spent all this money and all this time to run over and get ready to get raptured to Israel and it didn't happen? What was their outlook on things then? Did they become scattered? Did they give up? Did they lose heart? What happened to these people? Where was the terror and the emunah in their faith? Because of something that someone was saying who presumed to be a very good teacher and very powerful, and it didn't happen. This is like the little ones growing up, and they're told that this rabbit's been laying for colored eggs, and he's over there. No, he's over there. And then there's a man in a red suit on the roof going to bring naughty and nice, and he sees everything, and they find out, well, that guy never existed. And the rabbits don't lay eggs. What? I even had a guy tell me one time, and this man was serious, and he was way older than me. He said, you know why Easter eggs are different colors? And I said, why? He says, because Simon also sold eggs. And he went across the Sea of Galilee, and when he got across the Sea of Galilee with the eggs, they were all different colors. That's where Easter eggs came from. This guy was serious. And some people are going to take it to the grave. This is not good. And well, what are we supposed to believe in? And then they say, believe in Jesus. Oy vey. And they go, oh, is this another one? You ran me through the mill on two other things, and now you want me to believe this one? So people's faith can get torn and worn when they're told by teachers and leaders that certain things are going to happen, thus saith the Lord, and they don't. So I want to warn people, this is very serious stuff. God's people wander because of false prophets. And then the beautiful statement in this parsha, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkenoteka Yisrael. Numbers 24:5.
How lovely are your tents, O Yaakov, your dwellings, O Israel.
Looking down upon Israel, the camp, and the order, and the people, with their God in their midst, must have been a beautiful sight to see in a world full of chaotic nations. Kasam, Suser, Kasam, in Hebrew, is parallel to Nachash, serpent, witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23.
For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king.
God wants us to not look over there, or look over there, or go on the internet and look in there, what's happening? Get some prophets on here and find out what's going on in the future. He wants us to go in here and see where every time he said something was going to happen, it happened. Every time. Those nations, he talked about Babylon. You guys better get under Babylon's collar, because otherwise you're doomed. It happened. It happened. Kasam. He used a donkey to open Balaam's eyes. He opened Balaam's eyes. And Balaam saw this marvelous angel, Malak. Kasam is a dangerous place to be. Something very strong is said here, and this is why there's so many false prophets. Numbers 24:10-11.
Then Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together, and Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and look, you have bountifully blessed them these three times. Now therefore flee to your place. I said I would greatly honor you, but in fact, the Lord has kept you back from honor.
Whoa. Isn't that something? Honor. The Lord has kept you back from honor. This is why there's so many false prophets, is self-elevation. They want honor. They want to be honored. And this clown comes right out and says, the Lord has kept you back from honor. When in fact, God is the one who's to be honored. Not Balaam, not Balak. You see, as you start seeing the language in here, Balak's whole world is all about who's getting honor. Except for Elohim. He is so stuck on himself that he's stuck on self-honor. But in fact, Elohim has kept you back from honor. This is the pagan-based mindset of honoring oneself. In the vain imaginations of their own mind. Like I've said before so many times, and some just never will hear it, let it sink in. People don't see us as we see ourselves. False prophets' motives are to elevate themselves. How do we know he was not a prophet of God? One big fat clue is in 24:25, at the end of their little dismal existence.
So Balaam rose and departed and returned to his place. Balak also went his way.
Balaam rose and departed and returned to his place. Not to God. He didn't return back to God. He returned back to his own ways. Then this labeled him as a false prophet, as I told one man once before. A prophet of God, there's two types of prophets. There's prophets, I just call them all false prophets. And the prophet of God keeps the ways, the Modim, the high holy days, the Shabbats, and observes and studies and searches out the scriptures and lets them lead their life. A prophet of God follows Elohim with his whole heart. He keeps his ways. At the end of this deal here in 24:25, we see these two men go their own way. I mean, God spoke through his mouth the greatness of Israel and the greatness of Elohim. And he still went back home. He could have walked right down into that camp and joined in. It's open to everyone. The princess of Egypt was there. Pinchas was there. Coming up in this next parsha, he was an Egyptian. He was Zadok, Yasharun, upright. He was there. These two men had a chance to walk right down into that camp and become Israel. It was open to everyone. But they didn't. They refused to check their egos at the door. They refused. They wanted to go back and try to gobble up some more honor. Humility is to make the right estimate of yourself. Humility is to make the correct estimate of yourself. Charles Spurgeon. But people seldom make the right estimate of themselves. Balak desired that Israel be cursed. He imagined himself to be ruler, yet he knew they were God's people and he was afraid. He summoned Balaam in Numbers 22:5-7, exposing his arrogance and fear. Now come and pursue, put a curse on these people, for they are too powerful for me. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them. You know, it hit me as I got through this parsha. Neither one of these guys believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For had they would have gone down there and walked right into that camp. But they really didn't believe it because he's pointing at the people. What's the first line say? He saw all that Israel had did to Amori. To the Amorites, the Moabites. He didn't say he saw all that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did to those people. See, they were focused on the physical, the shiny wheels. They were focused on wow, there's so many people, so many people. They didn't ever once cross their mind. That many people can't hang out together unless God's there. There's no way. Because all the other nations are chaos and disorder. They were all little city kingdoms, you know. You go back in history and look at the facts. All these kingdoms were little towns. They were city kingdoms, like Jericho. In each kingdom, instead of a mayor, they had a king for the town. And they were all so insecure. They're all bunched up together, breathing on each other their own lies and their vain imaginations amongst themselves and doing whatever they wanted to do. And then here comes Israel. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. At this time, it's written, they were bigger than any known nation in that whole area at that time. Way bigger. Oh. The arrogance. Now come and put a curse on these people, for they're too powerful for me. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them. Balak knew the power of God was with them, but it wouldn't register. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Moab was terrified. Even knowing this fact, he surmised that he could outsmart God by having Balaam curse the people. He sought to oppose them through pagan divination. He truly had a false image of himself, total lack of humility. He was his own influence, and he formed his own way. Balaam was the same. He had a false image of himself, So much so that he disobeyed direct orders from God and had to succumb to the fact that he was being questioned by a donkey. Hung out with a ruler that was obsessed with cursing Israel, decided to return to his old way, and eventually was killed by the Israelites. Then Balaam got up and returned home. Balak went his own way. They were unmoved by God's unrelenting love for Israel and his divine instruction. The word of God can only move people who are willing to change. The word of God can only move people who are willing to change. I look back over my past and what I came out of and what God did in my life from December 7th, 1993 till now. And if somebody would have told me all that was going to happen, I would have said, what are you smoking? I'm amazed at the power of God. Without the willingness to see oneself as they really are, and without the humility to accomplish that directive, one is useless to God because they will refuse either unconsciously or consciously to pass the test that he puts before them. If a person doesn't pass the test that God puts before them, then how can that person bring glory to God or be used by God? This is why he's putting these things in front of us that really torque us. Because there's a promotion behind it. He wants us, he's shaping us. He's sharpening the stick, man. We're a stick, and he's putting a really nice point on it. And he wants us to pass these tests. So the most ugliest, doggone thing that's happening in your life right now, grab a hold of it and conquer it with him like it's the land. Get after it and tear it up, man, because he's with you. If you're in the momentum of God and with God and you're going to move with him and he's there with you and he called you into this truth, you move with him and he's going to blow your socks off, man. He's going to show you his power and you will overcome and you'll be ready for the next test that's coming that's going to be worse. They're coming. I know. I'm up here standing like a dang fence post. He brings things on us that we never dreamed would come. If a person doesn't pass the test that God puts before them, how correctly will they walk with his will? Influences direct our paths. Influences are pretty much invisible until they come out of a human. It's a noun, the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. The verb part is to have an influence on. Proverbs 13:20.
He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed.
Whoever walks with the wise will become wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. It's talking about influences, unwise associations. Proverbs 14:12.
There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death.
Any other influence but the Father's will lead us away from that which is right. That which is pure, that which is his, and that which is kadosh, holy. Slowly we sink into the influences of ourselves or another. By being offended, we yield to our own influence of I'm wounded. Lack of humility gives yield to arrogance in the supposition that we should be treated differently. Haughtiness gives way to the influence of I'm better. Any other influence other than that of the Father's is an influence of self, arrogance, even an influence of self-debasement is linked to arrogance. I'm no good. For we loft ourselves first in our lives, mind, and heart. I'm no good. That's a form of idolatry. I had to stop that. God told me, said, hey, I made you. Don't be talking like that. I didn't put me here. He made me. So I have to live up to his good. Balak was an unwise association. We can surround ourselves with wise associations or unwise associations. As it says in Proverbs, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. And I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. Balak and Balaam both suffered from narrow mind. They were each the beginning and end of their own story. A narrow mind sees itself separate from the world, community, and friends. The narrow mind is involved with those entities, yet sees itself often alienated, above, or distant. Quickly able to disregard people as they tell themselves that something was done to them. As Balak was involved with himself and operating within a narrow mind, he saw himself as one who could destroy the people of God. He actually thought he could do this. To distance from a narrow mind, one has to distance themselves from what is actually happening. But we get wrapped up in the moment and lose clarity. If Balaam would have looked at the entire whole picture, he would have been able to see the greatness of God. Balak was angry. In Numbers 24:10.
Then Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and look, you have bountifully blessed them these three times.
And he ordered Balaam to return home. Before he left, however, Balaam told Balak that the only way to harm the people of Israel was to seduce them into sin, for only then would God punish his people. Numbers 25, 1 through 5.
Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moshe, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moshe said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor.
Both Balak and Balaam were wrapped up in fear, offense, pride, and rebellion. They tried to change the will of God. Balaam, he wind up blessing Israel every time he opened his mouth. But he also did something else. Number 31, 1 through 23.
The Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, take vengeance on the Midianites for the children of Israel. Afterward, you shall be gathered to your people. So Moshe spoke to the people, saying, arm some of yourselves for war, and let them go against the Midianites to take vengeance for the Lord on Midian. 1,000 from each tribe, of all the tribes of Israel, you shall send to the war. So there were recruited from the divisions of Israel, 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. Then Moshe sent them to the war, 1,000 from each tribe. He sent them to the war with Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the holy articles and the signal trumpets in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moshe. And they killed all the males. They killed the kings of Midian, with the rest of those who were killed, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. And the children of Israel took the women of Midian captive with their little ones and took as spoil all their cattle, all their flocks, and all their goods. They also burned with fire all the cities where they dwelt and all their forts. And they took all the spoil and all the booty of man and beast. Then they brought the captives, the booty, and the spoil to Moshe, to Eleazar the priest, and to the congregation of the children of Israel, to the camp in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. And Moshe, Eleazar the priest, and all the leaders of the congregation went to meet them outside the camp. But Moshe was angry with the officers of the army, with the captains over thousands and the captains over hundreds who had come from the battle. And Moses said to them, have you kept all the women alive? Look, these women caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore, kill every male among the little ones and every woman who has known a man intimately. But keep alive for yourselves all the young girls who have not known a man intimately. And as for you, remain outside the camp 7 days. Whoever has killed any person, and whoever has touched any slain, purify yourselves and your captives on the third day and on the seventh day. Purify every garment, everything made of leather, everything woven of goat's hair, and everything made of wood. Then Eleazar the priest said to the men of war who had gone to the battle, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moshe. Only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that can endure fire, you shall put through the fire, and it shall be clean. And it shall be purified with the water of purification. But all that cannot endure the fire, you shall put through water."
This is all about influences. We're not to kill people today. You know, God says, love your neighbor as yourself. Don't. But what we are to kill is the influences. And you know how you kill an influence? You get away from it. You learn to have boundaries. And you learn to watch how people talk and the way they carry themselves and what they say and how much sarcasm they throw at leadership and how much sarcasm they throw at their spouses. These are not good influences. And on all the times it seems small, influences sprout and grow into a gnarly weed that chokes out truth, humility, and kindness and love. Influences grow. And I've had people say, "Oh, I'm not afraid of anything. I got Jesus." But then you even more so had better start paying attention. Because the people of God, influences attach stronger. Because the enemy wants them out. The closer, and you've felt this, I know. The closer you get to Elohim, sometimes the harder the battles are. Sometimes there's more things coming at you, trying to attach to you. For those who work with the public, when you get done working with the public, go home in mikvah. He's telling them to take the metal and burn it. I mean, he's saying take everything that's got an influence on it, people, clothing, and buildings. My daughter Sophie worked at a bank, and she said they counted the casino money, you know. She said it stunk. $200,000-$300,000 they'd be counting. And sometimes they come across bills with blood on them. You know, she'd go wash her hands. She said her hands smelled horrible after counting all that money. They'd go and they'd mikvah right there in the bank. How many of us got a dollar bill, got a frog skin in our pocket? You know, we all got one. We all got some money in our pockets. We don't know where it's been or what somebody did with it. They might have snorted some cocaine with it. We don't know what. That is a good example of how easy influences can go like a serpent, nachash, slip right in. It's crazy. The other day, I was reading and thinking and praying about influences. And I'm in my kitchen making a sandwich, and I turn around, and there's a 3-foot bull snake stretched out on the kitchen floor. I said, "Well, you didn't even knock, and you didn't have no hands to knock with, but you can't brush your teeth. How'd you get in here?" "Somebody left the door open." What a metaphor, huh? We left a door open. A friend of mine down the road said he had a rattlesnake under his piano because somebody left the door open. We are a house. Each one of you is a special sanctuary for Elohim and his purpose in you. Don't leave the door open. Nachash will come in. Influences will come in. We have Yeshua so that we can recognize these things. We're supposed to have Yeshua so that we can see the enormity of the enemy's handiwork. When you pass by people, you can feel things coming off of them. How many have done this? A lot of hands. You feel things more than you see and hear. And it's spooky. You know, it makes you want to go hide under a rock. This little part right here that we just read, this little part right here, when he said, "Look, These women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Beor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. That plague was somebody was believing somebody else's lie. Somebody bought into somebody else's story. And they got infected. It influences lies, lashon hara. These things attach like the bubonic plague, and they spread like wildfire. We have to look at what's going on here. First the physical, then the spiritual. With the scriptures, always remember: first the physical, then the spiritual. Burn, clean, mikvah, purify every garment, everything made of leather, woven goat's hair, everything made of wood. Clean it, mikvah it, get outside the camp 7 days, guys. Heal, get these things off of you now, or we are going to be destroyed. And it's the invisible that does the killing. So I just want to encourage people, number one, when you hear somebody spouting off, thus saith the Lord, I'm going to prophesy, run and hide. Especially if there's lightning around. Not a good place to be. Numbers 25, 1 through 9.
Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moshe, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moshe said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Beor. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moshe and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now when Pinchas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And those who died in the plague were 24,000.
That's a lot of people get wiped out. Yahweh is so good. Isaiah 44:25.
Who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness?
Adonai does this. Deuteronomy 23:3-6.
An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Even to the tenth generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord forever, because they did not meet you with bread and water on the road when you came up out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. The Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. You shall not seek their peace nor their prosperity all your days forever.
Your enemies are involved in your promotion. Those who are giving you a bad time, in reality, God is using them to push you into your next season. Joshua 24:9-10.
Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore he continued to bless you.
So Balaam just continued to bless and bless and bless. The whole while the king Balak was thinking he was going to get cursed, cursed, cursed. Nehemiah 13:1-3.
On that day they read from the book of Moshe in the hearing of the people. And in it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever come into the assembly of God, because they had not met the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, our God turned the curse into a blessing. So it was when they had heard the law that they separated all the mixed multitude from Israel.
Micah 6:5.
O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. From Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord.
This specifically says, remember this. Remember this. This is why today we still have the Torah, and the Jewish people are persecuted for being the guardian of the Torah. The Torah is the truth of the universe, the truth of Elohim, the words of our Maker. And he says, Shema Israel, remember, hear. Remember. 2 Peter 2:15, false teachers.
They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness.
Who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Jude 5 through 11.
But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them, in a similar manner to those, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moshe, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah.
We have for our examples today what happened thousands and thousands of years ago that is still with us and is still being played out. And our hope is in the many verses that you will find under the word scatter and regather. Our hope is what we read earlier, Ezekiel. Let me read this one more time, Ezekiel 11, 14 through 21.
Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, your brethren, your relatives, your countrymen, and all the house of Israel in its entirety are those about whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get far away from the Lord. This land has been given to us as a possession. Therefore say, Thus says the Lord God, Although I have cast them afar off among the Gentiles, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet I shall be a little sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore say, Thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they will go there. They will take away all its detestable things and all its abominations from there. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God.
This is our hope. And we know it's true. All of us were born in a different town. How many people in here were born in this town? Not one. We are living proof that this right here is happening. This is happening today. And it's been happening for a long time, and I don't know how long it's going to happen. Don't ask me. I'm not going to go there. Because I want to be counted in the assembly. See, if we focus on what we think God is going to glorify us into saying, then we're not focusing on what He is trying to say in here. That is very important. That's why humility is the most fertile ground for the Word of God to flourish within one's soul. Never forget that. Humility. Humility, humility. The sages and the ancient ones liken it to soil. We walk on it. We came from it. Humility is the key. It's the fertilizer and the proper soil for the Word to blossom in one's soul. In the name of Yeshua, I love everyone here very much, and I care for you. And I pray for everybody all the time. Abba, help us overcome that which comes against us. Give us that strength that you have given us so many times. Be with us and keep us strong. Keep us together. And we will see you more and more in Yeshua's name. Amen.
So for today's Haftarah portion, it's going to be Micah 5:6 to Micah 6:8. It's always humbling and honoring to read from the Torah. They shall waste with the sword the land of Assyria and the land of Nimrod at its entrances. Thus he shall deliver us from the Assyrian when he comes into our land, and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame, I will gather the outcast and those whom I have afflicted, and I will make the lame a remnant and the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. The one thing, just a short commentary that stands out is we're all quite familiar with the passage about beating swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. And sadly, I think a lot of people mistakenly believe what that we're there now and we're to do that now. And they've already prematurely have beaten their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. The sword is a symbol of vigilance and strength and readiness. So if we have if it is not time to put away the sword, it's not time to put away the things of vigilance, then we have become vulnerable and we're out of the time, we're out of God's Moedim, we're out of his cycle. So many people, I know them, you probably know them, they are, they're behaving like all is, that everything has happened already. We've already gone through through all the books of the Torah, through the Brit Hadashah, and peace has arrived. They have been lulled into a false sense of peace in the wrong time. So I'm not advocating war when I say that you should keep your sword sharpened. I'm advocating vigilance, that you are still to be on the watch. We're still supposed to guard the towers. We're not supposed to. We have so many enemies out there that are still lurking in the darkness and in the shadows, waiting for us in that vulnerable period to destroy us. We're not in that period of peace yet. But it's going to be wonderful when we are there. So I think it's something for us to look forward to, but we should not be mistaken that we have achieved that, because this is yet to come. If it was not true, then Syria would be the most peaceful country in the world. And it's not. So thank you for your time in hearing the Torah. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Darrell.